Hi, my name is Teemu Arina. Welcome to the Bikers Podcast. Today I'm talking to Hagen Thiers from WaveGuard, and today's topic is about protecting yourself from the environmental pollutants, including electromagnetic fields. There has been a lot of discussion about if you should protect yourself from Wi-Fi or mobile phones, 5G and all of that. And what I really like about WaveGuard is that they have actually done real studies with real institutes and really investigated this and incorporated a lot of these findings into their products. And the company is based in, it's in Germany, right? So, you know, Germans are a bit more diligent, much more punctual. I have lived in Germany, so I know that if Germans are doing something, they do it properly. So I'm very happy to talk to you today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Yes, I'm coming from a fourth generation mechanical engineering family. And so therefore, I think it's something we want to be a little bit more precise and a bit molecular about our work, which we do and things which we give out and want them to work forever.
That's how you should definitely go for it. Now, when we think about modern life, which is full of stressors, we have light pollution, like too much blue light everywhere. That's a big topic for biohackers. We have water that is full of chemicals and residues from agriculture and even people's drug use. There is constant noises, sounds, interruptions, notifications, all of that. And then there is electromagnetic radiation and all of that. I'm now finalizing a book called The Resilient Being, and it's about how to build resilience as a species. And it also goes deep into the nervous system. And one of the biggest killers today, although we live older than ever, is the stress and environmental issues. When you look at the leading causes of mortality, behind almost every single one of them, there is oxidative stress on a cellular level. There is also metabolic issues, mitochondrial dysfunction, and you can also find, you can find inflammation that is, of course, linked to all of these. And modern life and the stress associated with it makes everything worse. So if there's these degenerative diseases that kill us slowly, which is often when you find out about something, it's already too late. We have to become diligent and conscious about the environmental factors, how they affect us. And biohackers are all about optimizing the environment outside and inside of them. One of the definitions put forward about biohacking is about that what you can influence is what you put in your body and how you interact with your body, with the environment. And so we, just before we start this call, you told me you have been to Finland and you have been doing this like snowshoe hike in Lapland. And I have done that also. And it's one of my favorite things to do. And one thing that I noticed doing it is when you're so remote and so far from modern life, you don't have electric appliances. You don't have any of the pollutants, environmental pollutants in a way. You have the fresh air. There's no people, no noise, no cars, nothing. You don't hear anything, not even in the distance. You just hear your own breathing. You become actually very conscious about your own breathing for the first time. You really do hear it when there is no other sounds. You can see it exactly because it's cold and you see the vapor and you hear the sound of the snow under your feet compressing under your snowshoes. And you're hiking there utterly alone and realizing that living in the matrix of modern life is actually not very healthy. And you're doing probably the healthiest thing you can do to yourself, not just physically, but mentally. And coming out of it, it's so peaceful, so relaxing. So a lot of people, when they go on a vacation, they go on a beach, something like this, but or some kind of noisy tourist destination. But it's very, very hard to escape in today's world to be like utterly in the middle of nowhere without any sounds, nothing. And you can definitely do that in Finland. So I would recommend it to anyone to try something like that. And I still think like the best summer in the world is Finnish summer. And next July, we have Biker Summit, our 10-year anniversary, 2nd and 3rd of July. So I invite people to come over there. WaveGuard was in Amsterdam with us and most likely will be in Helsinki as well. Can you share a little bit on your realizations when you were hiking in the middle of nowhere and realizing that we are living a lifestyle that is not serving us?
Yes, that was for me. I was going to Lapland in January in 2008. And I spent there around 3 months straight. And I was hiking there for a couple of thousand kilometers in the national park. And there was those small cottages, those wilderness cottages, just from made from logs and just a minimum roof and a small iron stove, which you have inside of there, and a gas bottle usually. And that's pretty much it. You don't have an electricity plug. You don't have a bed. You don't have a tap water, obviously, or any of those things. And especially for me was interesting the detoxification from electricity and from electric light. It's very interesting if you're not just doing that as a holiday for a week or 5 days or something like this. And since, like I was mentioning, I was there in 2008. And there was no cell phone reception there. And also you wouldn't have a battery with you there or a cell phone that you could use. So maybe nowadays people which go into the nature, they also will take maybe a big battery pack for their phone to charge, and they will have perfect signal there. And then they can sit in this cottage and also distract themselves. And this wasn't possible. And then you have the natural light, which is only there and not the electric one. And your body starts after a few weeks to synchronize with the nature. You're literally getting dead tired when the sun sets, and you're getting up immediately at the first sunshine. And it's something very interesting, which I started to notice, how fast our body actually synchronizes again to the nature if we let it, and shows us how he wants to live. And maybe we just have a different view on that, what is fast nowadays or what is long nowadays. I don't consider taking the body 2 weeks to reset itself to a completely normal state of sleep a long time, if we consider how many years we before lived in a society. But for many people which try to go on a holiday for 10 days and which are just like, okay, I need to recover fast, then maybe it seems like a long time to get into that kind of state again. And you start to learn to live like yourself and to reflect about yourself. And you need to make your peace with yourself, because if you're not a pleasant person and you're there alone, you have no one else to blame but yourself. And so when you're really doing that and you're coming out happy out of the abandoned nature, you're a happy person, I would say, and you're good to fit into society and a less aggressive person.
So one thing that definitely makes you less aggressive is like a way of relaxing your nervous system. And today we are like overstimulated by so many different sources. So if we like go into electromagnetic radiation as a stressor, can you describe what's going on there? People are, of course, concerned about electromagnetic radiation. There's background radiation from space, which is constantly there. And then there's different power and frequency related to modern electronic appliances, anything from Wi-Fi to Bluetooth devices and so on, even the current converters or whatever. Can you like give us a little brief description of what invisible things are out there in a typical home?
That's a big field. Yes, we have a lot of different sources of radiation, from the natural ones which we're exposed to, from space, from the Earth magnetic field. And then obviously we have the very ionizing radiation, like from X-ray or gamma ray or radioactivity, which is then extremely harmful, as we know. And it seems that we are only needing a very small and certain amount of natural radiation, which we are born to and have our evolutionist process towards, that we are handling this correctly and that it has its benefits also for the body, like picking up vitamins over the sun, right? So we are having this different kind of spectrums. And then we have the high frequency pulsed radiation. And this is mostly what is based in the telecommunication and in any kind of technology with a communication link. And there we have the Bluetooth, like you mentioned, we have the Wi-Fi there. And also we have the cell phone receptions, which are now in a very big variety. We used to have only 1800 and 1900 megahertz in our society when there was just a 4G. And then we also had the radio frequencies for radio reception, literally for our car or something like that. And there where we had the DAB included, then we were starting to go for the 5G, which was added on top of that. And then we also have still lower frequency bands from the older technologies. And that is also showing already one kind of the problem to evaluate the danger of EMF, since always just something comes on top of it. Most of the older technologies are also still broadcasting, are also still affecting us. And so we are very careless, and that started with a millennium change when there were some law changes in the world. There was this huge explosion of technology coming around 25 years ago. And the companies at the time, they still had to prove that their technology, which they launched to the market, had to be safe. It had to be safe and it had to be tested that it's not causing any physical or biological harm. And because the technology was evolving so fast that the companies needed to get their money in faster, this was changed. That the law was changed and it was said, okay, the customer in future will have to sue the producer of the technology and prove that it caused him harm in order to get some damage payment money. And to get some, for instance, also health treatments and such things. And that was the first big change. And since then, we have been rolling out very fast technologies and we have been evolving them faster and faster. But we haven't had real good possibilities to study long-term studies because always the surroundings have been changing very fast. And we have been just adding upon this. And I have been dedicating a lot of my time into research, into looking into the studies. And something what the critical scientists around the world have in common is their summary. And that is, it's not, first of all, the problem which the official governments and World Health Organizations are pointing out, like that it's all about thermal and heat production in your tissue, which is the main concern. But it's about this constant exposure, and especially the higher the frequency, the more effects on your health it will have, according to the studies. And this is what is the summary, meaning the newer technologies, like for instance 5G or the faster Wi-Fi generations now, those are seeming to cause more harm than radio frequencies or, for instance, the old cell phone towers, which we had 15 years ago. And there is many studies which are showing, okay, there is the real problem. This is what we have to focus on. And there we also have to start taking things into our own hand and start to do protection and reduction of such exposures to ourselves.
There's a long history about this and how it affects. Now, I see electromagnetic radiation as an additional stressor on top of other things. So if there is a thermal effect, like certain type of frequency, there's also the distance thing from the tissue. So if you think about it, it basically has an exponential effect. So the closer a source of radiation is to your skin, like when you get further away from it, like exponentially it gets less. So that's why you can use lower frequency or lower power device close to yourself. And the higher the power, the further away from the body it should be. So don't use a Wi-Fi router under your bed kind of thing. And when we think about that, we already have all these cellular level stressors. When you add this thing, to me, it's not like any single one of them is the problem. It's the combination of multiple stressors, including the food that you eat, inflammatory foods.
Or even radiation polluted food, which we have as well. We also have those with the mushrooms, and we also have still the effects, for instance, in Europe from Chernobyl and such events where there is still our earth and our foods is still actually polluted. Yeah.
And not just that it's polluted. For example, radon is a good example of a radioactive gas that is just because, for example, where I live, this has been under the ice age, the 2 kilometer ice cap, and there is a rift that goes across this region, old geological material that has risen up. And actually, radon alone, which is actually when you, it's not that it gets in your body through food, it actually is more like a gas that gets in your body from having a shower or just opening up your tap. If you don't have radon pipes in your home, all of that, like that can be an external stressor. So you can use like active carbon filters actually to trap some of that. There's all these invisible stressors, but the point is that modern life, including getting all kinds of negative emails and getting stressed about it, you have this cellular level stress going on constantly. And when you add a little bit more, it's almost like putting a little bit more volume so your speakers start to break. This is what I see is happening when we add EMF radiation on top of all these other things. So personally, I don't see low-level exposure to radiation as a big deal because there is this hormetic stress effect that is very well known. And there's actually studies that show that low exposure to radiation can actually be beneficial to cells. There's all these mechanisms on a cellular level are related to autophagy, are related to cell renewal, are related to maintaining the integrity of the cell. And for any kind of resilience, you actually do need occasional stress. The problem is constant stress. If you're dialed up with stress all the time, that's when the system breaks. It's not that you occasionally get stressed by environmental factors or yourself. So the whole point is that why would you protect yourself from an additional stressor like EMF is because there's already so much stuff going on. When I'm in nature, when I'm on my snowshoes, I don't worry about EMF like having a mobile phone in my pocket, for example. But if I'm in an apartment which is already full of all kinds of things from poor air quality to poor water to doing a job, not being exposed to natural circadian rhythms, worrying about things, like then EMF protection makes a lot of sense. For example, the computer desk that I'm sitting in front of right now, I have everything wired, so I don't use Wi-Fi. I have a wired internet connection. And the other thing I have is actually I have a EMF protecting blanket right under my table. So there's a lot of electricity that is connected to this table under it, but I'm basically like covering all of that with a EMF sheet. So from under the table, I'm not getting exposed to that radiation on my most important organs, which is my reproductive organs.
Well, there's a reason why all of the biohackers are saying that radiation protection is now something of a foundational thing. 15 years ago, it was like have good shoes, have a good bed, and have good water. And this was like the foundations, which were like 15 years ago discussed, which I came across. That before you don't have those things corrected, it doesn't make sense to start on small adjustments. And nowadays, I guess the shoes have been replaced a little bit with radiation protection. The water is really important, the sleep is really important, and the radiation is important. Why is that? Because it is disturbing your hormonal balance and your brainwaves very strongly. And it's causing an always repeating stress and inflammation. And it's also very much prolonging and making it more difficult for the body to heal. And we're having everyday healing processes in our body. And it seems to me a bit like, okay, we are having maybe a knife basically stuck inside our foot, but we're starting to take vitamin C or starting to take some NAD injections or something like this. And that wouldn't make any sense because you first have to stop the drainage of energy out of your body, something which is very much interfering with everything. I was undergoing a lot of biohacking treatments in the last year, and I was working strongly on my hormonal system that I get that up to a better level. And it is really important that you have a foundation that you can do that, because if you're having such a big stressor, which we know, like cell phone radiation or Wi-Fi, which is having a big impact on our hormonal system, then I don't have to try to adjust anything. I first have to stop the body from leaking energy, therefore having a big negative interference. And then I can do blood tests after a few weeks again and see what my actual hormonal system is telling me. And then I can start to do the adjustment because I even don't have a clear diagnosis. And I think this is a really important part about the radiation, that we are starting to consider that as a fundamental thing to start health optimization from, because it has an impact on almost every part of our body and health.
So let's jump into the different studies on EMF and electromagnetic radiation in general. You have worked with Fraunhofer Institute, which is one of the most respected research institutes in whole Europe, and their studies are of very high quality. Can you give me a little brief overview on the research side?
So yes, we have done a study with the Fraunhofer Institute, and we have done so far 29 studies. And it's something which is really something which the audience should start to look into and also needs to be educated about. Not every study is a study. Not every thing which is claimed, especially in the EMF industry, is the same quality. It is really important to differentiate that. And the highest things what you can do is obviously go for university standards and then very prestigious universities and institutions. The Fraunhofer Institute is the biggest research institution of Europe with, I believe, something around 60,000 employees. And what that makes as a difference is, first of all, of course, very educated personnel, the best equipment, and they are not having any benefits from faking a study for you. And this is something what has been seen in the radiation industry very often, that there is just small institutes which have performed studies and which are then paid from by the company and sponsored by the company. And therefore, they can be manipulated. And a customer which is happy and which is getting marketing benefits from producing a study, they will likely come back to this institute. And if there's just one scientific researcher or two working, then they are also happy if a company is throwing at the money. So something what we have also seen, and this is the difficult part, is you have to have good studies with a small institution to get into the bigger ones, like us with the Fraunhofer Institute, or we have also done a study with the National Institute of Reproductive Medicine of the United States, and we have been going to prestige universities, for instance, also Oxford. And so we have been working with these kind of institutions together to study our devices and to understand what is really happening. And so the Fraunhofer study, which you mentioned there, we had a double-blind study, which we have done with a group of young people, which average age was 28, if I recall right. And so we gave them a scam device of our mobile device, the Key Shield. And then they also had an active device. And there was a third group, which was the base group. And the study was conducted that they just had to carry the device for a few days with them, and they were running a full analyzing on their health status before and after they have carried the WavePro device with them for a few days. And what we were able to see is that there is significant changes in the brain waves, and that especially also the people, through even they didn't believe into the device many times, they still felt that it has a good impact on their sleep quality and that they had a better recovery. And when it was starting to be very interesting, first of all, it's a study which also proved that you don't have to believe in the device to work because it was placebo controlled. And the next part is that after you finish a study and you find a positive result, something what you do is you do a power analyzation. And that means that basically you're looking at, okay, how many people were in the study? And when you are having a small group of people which you study, you need to have a big impact with your devices to have a statistically significant difference in the study. And we found those in the Fraunhofer Institute, which was for us a big breakthrough that we have this result that we can say, okay, it's placebo proven. This device has positive effects on the brainwave in the theta areas, for instance. But the thing was, if we would have had four more people in the study included, then we would literally have to, which we found out during the power analyzation and the calculation, that we would have actually passed in 12 of 16 brainwave region already every part of the statistic significant difference. And this was a huge breakthrough and something which isn't really pointed out there in the study, but the study is actually therefore extremely strong and it's published. It was done by the biggest research institution of Europe, and it shows that we are actually having some really good impact on the people's brain waves and sleep with the WaveGuard devices. And it also shows us, okay, and they were really recommending us. And with this study, we had open arms now to all worldwide universities, institutions to study this further. And the next study we are now repeating, where we are enhancing the amounts of sensor points on the brain, and where we are knowing, okay, we need a few more participants. And something which we have been speaking now about with the University of Hong Kong is that we are also starting to include a stressor. Every study which has included a stressor is usually much stronger for our results finding, because if you're actually testing the people changes in the brainwaves when they're having a telephone call active, for example, even when they're not speaking, so it's not about having an emotional call with your mother or something like this, but it's just you have the active cell phone call and then you're seeing the brainwave changes, and then you have that one with a WaveGuard device, for example, to compensate with those EMF effects, that's something then where you will see bigger results. And so for us, the study which we have there conducted with Fraunhofer was really nice, because it basically means you have a better mental state, better brainwave functionality, and more creativity and a better sleep. And this for 28-year-old people which are not changing anything else in their life. And this is big if you can just add something to your life, which is doing work for you, because normally we have to start taking actions into our hands very much ourselves to reach those changes. And this in such short amount of time, within 1 week to reach those kind of changes, is actually pretty significant for us. And so we'll continue to do this kind of research and focus more on that, and especially include there also now the research about and the action of the cell phone being active in this kind of study?
There is quite a number of studies out there by different companies. And like you explained, those are done by small institutes paid by the company. And if you look at the quality of those reports, you can already see like that those are not even scientific articles. Those are more like reports. And it's usually adjusted in such a way that it shows positive results. One thing that keeps on popping up is dark field microscopy. And there is companies out there that do this so-called live blood cell analysis. And it's a valid scientific tool for observing specimens under microscope. So you get really lovely images out of that. But it's not a legitimate scientific research tool. It's not validated for anything. And any claims that technology is somehow able to show something just doesn't. It's the dark side of scientific research, in a sense, not this dark field microscopy. You can observe some characteristics of blood under those conditions, but the live cell analysis misinterprets many things, often deliberately, and that's not something I would take seriously. So if any listeners come across this technique, it's not a valid research tool. You have to look at completely different things on a cellular level with validated gold standard methods if you want to get good results. So I just want to point that out.
And as I was speaking about this in Amsterdam on your conference, it is also the problem about having a principle of action. I think many people, they have a wrong belief, or they just really want to find a cure for their problems with EMFs, and they want to, best of all, to just have a chip card in their pocket or put a chain around their neck and say, oh, now I'm EMF protected from everything for, what, $200, and I don't have to worry about anything else. Mm-hmm. And that there is this kind of miracle breakthrough which is doing that for you. Mm-hmm. And this is where it starts to be a problem, because we're looking so hard for a solution that we're starting to wanting to find a solution so badly that we don't anymore go into our realistic point of view. And there is almost everything nowadays measurable. And when I started on this journey, I was having thousands of customer feedbacks, and I was doing case studies, and I also was going to health practitioners, and they would also do this kind of live blood test. And that was 15 years ago when I was on this journey, and I never was doing a company from that. And I was never opening something from this because it's not validated. It's not a strong science. It's nothing what you can build upon yet. It's something which gives you an indication at best.
Precisely.
But the thing is, you need to have a principle of action. If you go with a small sticker on your phone, for instance, you're going to an institution, let's say to the Fraunhofer Institute, which we were doing a study at, and you're telling there, hey, I want to measure that this phone now is less dangerous than before. Then they're going to ask you, Timo, how is this working? You put here a plastic sticker on your phone. And what is it doing now? Is it blocking the cell phone signal? What is it doing? And then you say, okay, it's harmonizing. Oh, this is interesting. What does harmonizing mean? Well, and just the other week, I was meeting here a person which was selling one of those products, and we were talking about it. And I was asking, why do you think this is working? And he is a huge seller. He has like hundreds of thousands of people following him and purchasing the products. And he was telling, it's like with the noise canceling. If you're using the noise canceling headphones in the airplane, we are registering the frequency which it's traveling on, and then we give out the same frequency backwards, and that's why it's neutralized the effect. And I said, okay, interesting. How do you give out the frequency? Well, that's the first problem. Okay, we cannot really say. Okay, and then the next thing is, and I said, okay, if you turn on your airplane in the airplane or just in a loud car, right, if you turn on those noise canceling headphones, what's happening? What is happening, Timo, if you do that? The background noise, the turbulences in the car, the noise from the winds, this is being registered and it's blanked out. You're hearing suddenly the music much more enjoyable, right? Because all of this background interference is gone. And I said, okay, and if you turn on the headphones and nothing happening, what's the problem? The battery is empty. It doesn't work. I said, okay, so if you're following this principle and you're giving out the counter wave, then that means you're basically using a jammer device. And that means you cannot use anymore your product and your cell phone because it will not have any more signal. If you put this on and it does what it tells, then it will have not any signal. Does it have still signal? Yes. So then what are we talking about? And so this is the kind of problem what you're facing when you're going to a university. Those people have studied and those people have been going through formal education, and they will look into a physics book and they will look inside of there and they will find out, okay, what is the possible ways of reducing electromagnetic fields? Okay, shielding, limiting just the sources, and depolarization. And this is the three points which are, you find in a physics book. And when you go to university and you're relating to any of those three principles, then they act low. Okay, this is something which has potential of working. Okay, if you, you know, lighten up a fire and then it's going to produce some heat. You're doing something with a principle, what you know is having certain consequences. And the wavefront principle, which we use, the key technology is exactly built upon that. This principle from the University of Athens, which they found, which is called depolarizing. And it means you're dispersing a small area radiation on a bigger area. And that's why actually your body has the possibility to react on a bigger surface area to it and start to feel this pressure and this effect and counteract upon it. So the field strength drops, and we have measured with the three best technical institutions in the world the field strength reduction. So when people are running around with a tri-field meter and testing if it does something, this is what we have done at university level. In shielded rooms, in controlled conditions, so that we know everything is safe, we put there a radio wave, a Wi-Fi frequency, for example. There is a sender, there is an antenna, and then you bring in a key device inside of the room. Nothing else is changing. And we know, okay, now the electromagnetic field is 3 voltmeters. And then you bring in the key device and the sensor suddenly picks up only 1.25 voltmeters. And this is what we have done. And this is based on this principle, which has the university found. It's not our innovation. And so we can actually show this, and that is a sensor. So the sensor also doesn't have a consciousness and a placebo effect possibility, because it doesn't matter or doesn't even know if there is a device entering the room. There's just less electromagnetic field registered at the sensor size. And this is because of this disbursement that some of the electromagnetic field are not anymore hitting the sensor. And this is what the professor Panagopoulos has found out from Greek, as I mentioned. And he also then studied the rats and mice, and he found out that if you're disturbing and distributing the area of effect, that he has studied stress responses in mouse and rats, and he found that they are much, much less high, the stress responses, and much less damaging. He's also an agonist against this new build out of 5Gs and so on, and on Wi-Fi with this high frequency. I met him on the 5G conference in London and spoke to him, and he's also one of those, you know, pioneers of research, which is educating about this is a problem, this is a risk to us. And he has seen himself the effects with the university and has published multiple papers on it. If you depolarize EMFs, then also what is left of the EMF inside of the room is not anymore taken so critically by the body. And this is the principle which we are working on.
Just for me to give like little bit of context for the audience. So what we're talking about here is that EMF and its effects on a tissue cellular level, that's a real phenomena. Now, the devices on the market, the marketing that they use, those are not of high quality. And what WaveGuard has done, and also in terms of using physics in developing their product, that's a real phenomena. So you can see on their website how the key technology works. You can see how depolarization works. So when you have a sender and a receiver, how it depolarizes the radiation, and in that way you weaken the electromagnetic field in a sense. So there's a few methods how you want to do it. One is at the source level, you somehow reduce the signal. So there are boxes that you can weak Faraday cages inside which you can put your Wi-Fi router. It will reduce its area because you're making the signal weaker, but that's one way, like how you can adjust it. So you don't have too strong signal in the outset. That also applies to mobile devices in a sense that you have to actually do something to the device itself if you want to reduce the radiation. Now, to put a sticker on your phone or to have some kind of funny necklace that supposedly harmonizes EMFs or blocks them is not a real effect unless there is some kind of technology that is conducting the depolarization. You can't do it with a necklace. You need a bigger object that actually is able to conduct that. So that's why the key devices are pretty like sizable. Now, another thing is a about the materials. So there's a lot of EMF protecting clothes around there, but not all of them are very effective. I don't remember who did the study, but some independent research facility tested different EMF protecting products on the market and found out that most of them don't actually block EMFs. Some of them actually even amplified the signal, which is funny. It's very important that you're getting products that are real. Now, a lot of these stickers are coming from the same factory in China. They can buy those for cents and they sell those to customers for tens or hundreds of euros. So they're making the profit here on your ignorance. So unfortunately, although the EMF is a real phenomena, there's a lot of products out there that don't really do anything. You're just paying for nothing. So that's why it's important to do your research, that you are using products that are validated and where the effects are real based on physics. Now, one thing like I just want to point out, like practically how people can reduce their exposure to EMFs. Let's take your mobile phone. If you have a weak signal, the device will work harder to get a signal. Like in its process of trying to find the signal, that's when your device is actually causing more of the EMF radiation than because it's increasing the power to access a weak signal. So first important step for you is to actually have a good signal. If you have a weak signal, that is a health risk. Now, another thing is when you're receiving a phone call, the moment when it's connecting the phone call, that's when you have a pulse of EMFs that are much higher than baseline. And so what you want to do is when you're calling someone, you don't put the phone immediately on your ear, but you wait for the connection to be formed, and that's when you can put it on your ear. Now, if you really want to, and many of these mobile companies, especially with the new models, have been warned that their devices are no longer meeting the minimum radiation levels or maximum radiation levels, what you want to do is then to put your phone not next to your head, but to use like some kind of Bluetooth even is better. Better yet is to use AirTube, where the sound is being carried to your ears from a point where the device is not right next to your brain, basically. And so if you think of these noise-canceling wireless Bluetooth headphones that a lot of people use, that you're actually putting inside of your skull, that's the worst. Headphones, cool, but once you're putting something inside of your skull, so your skull is protecting a lot of things, we're actually putting something like that is closer to the tissues, which is your brain.
Yeah, it can function like an antenna. If you're using a wired headphone with metal insides, they can function as an antenna and transfer the signal in there. And if you have the Bluetooth, then you're basically also directing the 800 megahertz frequencies towards your brain.
Exactly. So the idea here is because the longer the distance of the radiation source is from your body, it goes down exponentially. Putting your phone like in a backpack or like just away from your body and then using other methods to bring the signal to your ears makes a lot more sense than having the device right next to your ear. But if you want to reduce consciously exposure, is like to use some of the tips that I just earlier described in terms of if you're going to put the phone immediately on your ear and you check the signal quality. So those are some of the things that I would recommend people to do if they don't have, let's say, a waveguard device in their homes.
Well, a voice message might be one of the best options, which I would recommend. And Timo, what would you say? Is it better to use a wireless Bluetooth headset or a 5G cell phone directly at your ear for the call? What do you say?
I think the Bluetooth is better. And it depends on the class of the Bluetooth device. So some of them are higher in terms of their power and some of them are less. But Bluetooth, I remember like one statistical point here. One phone call, one 5G phone next to your ear produces more radiation than a whole year of Wi-Fi exposure. So when people think that Wi-Fi is like super dangerous, one phone call with the phone on your ear is more dangerous than that. Now, if you think of Bluetooth, Bluetooth is the same way, like exponentially less harmful than a Wi-Fi router. It goes by the power and frequency. And so I'm not like worried about Bluetooth devices. But if you really want to go crazy about this, get everything wired and you can also use the AirTube solution for your headphones.
Yeah, no, I just also think it's a really important point to make those differences. Not everybody is willing to make some big changes in their life. And therefore, if you have the option to do the cell phone or you need to do a cell phone call, then I would still prefer, if I don't have an air tube or don't have other options, then I would still choose definitely a Bluetooth headphone rather than the phone up on my ear, because the frequencies are just so much higher. And what people don't know is that signal strengths can be boosted from 5G masts if you're having a low signal. So they can direct up to 12 antennas into your direction. And this is actually one of the bigger problems with EMFs, that you can have so much collateral damage that you can have your own choices and your own conscious behavior about EMFs and turn off your Wi-Fi at night and turn down your cell phone at night or things like that. But with, for instance, especially with 5G, you can have some tremendous exposure just by being basically in the line of signal, standing for almost line of fire here, that if a person is having a cell phone call in an elevator and you're just sitting in front of that building on a park bench and you're between the elevator and the cell phone towers, this happens to be a 5G tower, and you sit in the middle of that, the cell phone tower will register that there is a low signal because the person in the elevator doing the call is almost sitting in a Faraday cage, and the 5G mast will register that and will boost the signal and boost like 12 antennas into this area and boost especially the signal there. And the safety limits which are occurring, they can be like over exceeded by, I believe it's almost 100 times when you're in the line of fire, because they're all almost always just registered at the point of the device and never in between. So in between of the cell phone tower and the person doing the call, there's a weak signals, there can be extremely high EMF levels occurring. And this is where it seems to be a big problem with the 5G.
Excellent points. And one thing that I just also want to mention about validating products is, if someone tells you that, when you ask them, how do you actually cancel the signal? How does your product work? If they say it's proprietary, it's most likely a scam.
Like, that's a good point.
If it really works, they have the patents for it, they have the certificate, it's not a proprietary technology. Whatever they say, that people will steal their technology or science or solution if they make it public, that's not true. If you have a great product, we'll sell. And the better validated it is, the harder it is for others to enter the market, especially if you registered the trademark and the patent for it, good for you. But so I'm very skeptical about all these solutions that claim all kinds of things. And especially if they use the term quantum, like, that's when you should run.
One question to you. You know so many products. Have you seen one sticker company, one pendant company anywhere out there in the world which has a university study and showing EMF protection probabilities?
No, but I can tell you that there is one factory in China that produces all of them.
Okay.
And they just put their own brand on it and claim all kinds of stuff about it. So I can go to AliExpress right now and order these stickers if you need any.
Sounds good.
At least you can save your money by buying those things from AliExpress. I actually have bought some things from AliExpress, mainly fabrics. So EMF protecting blankets and all that, like, you can actually get the raw materials from China. And many of those actually are real deal.
Yeah, that's true. I also, right now, I'm building my Insta channel and I'm starting there right now my new season, because I moved to Dubai here for work and I'm having here 100 Wi-Fi signals here in this building. And I lived in Finland, where you live, in the middle of nowhere. And I had my autark wired in houses and everything. And now I'm living in this huge city. And so I've started this project of creating a completely EMF-free home, as speaking of technical points, and walk people through that, and also to go through it with a meter and so on, and also start different, tested now, I think, 4 different fabrics from China and so on. So I'm also right now in this process of giving people some real good instructions about how to really lower your EMF exposures in big cities if you have those kind of things. And so we'll be doing all kinds of interesting testings. And there's some really cool features about this, which you can find out. So I'm also there publishing now my 10 episodes of that.
Wonderful. With your device, where would you use it most? Would you use it in the bedroom, in the living room, in a car, next to your plants? Like, how would you use that?
It depends a little bit on if you get one device, would you do all? Or if you're looking for the combination of 2 devices. So we have 2 typical customers there. One is like the couple, which is like young couple, which is working both. And they have many times, they have 2 hybrid mobile and stationary devices. So they can take them with them at work in their bag. And then they can put them at the evening, they can put them into their bedroom. And therefore, they have 90% of their day they have covered with this mobile devices, which they can take with them. And then, so this is how they use it. And then we have this combination of that we have a stationary unit, which is basically covering your area of your home and reducing the field strength, which is measurable, which is nice, which we have done and shown. And there you have this depolarized EMF only left inside of your room. And then the people, they have just a smaller unit, which they take for them to the go. And the stationary unit, they are usually putting in the middle of the house. I have it here in my living room, which is next to my bedroom. So I basically have the best coverage from the WaveGuard device inside the living room and bedroom next door.
Wonderful. I think about it, this whole electrosmog aspect of that there's all these invisible things. You're describing like 100 different Wi-Fi signals and I mean, places like Dubai, crazy, isn't it? So when I go to nature, like I see immediately improvements in heart rate variability, lower heart rate. I feel more rested, more happy. There's many compound effects of the fact that you're not like bombarded by all kinds of modern day signals. You are breathing fresh air most of the time. And also one thing that is key here is grounding also. And so you're sucking in negative ions from Earth and then the circadian rhythm aspect that you're not exposed to artificial light sources. But especially with sleep quality, I've noticed when I sleep in nature, even in a cabin, not just in a tent, but in a cabin, I just get much more deeper and restful sleep. So the difference here is that in a city environment, I'm surrounded by these things and a lot of electrical devices, but in a traditional, simple cabin that you heat with fire, there might be some electricity, but it's not like you have a freaking 5G Wi-Fi router next to you. I've noticed like massive effects, and anyone can test these things themselves. Take a baseline measurement a few weeks in your home in a city environment, and then go for a couple of weeks in the countryside in the middle of nowhere and see if you see a difference in your sleep quality. I guarantee you will see improvements. Like how, if we talk about the biomarkers and all that, I mentioned heart rate variability, heart rate. Have you looked into those things in addition to cellular level effects?
Yes. So we have done also the heart rate variability studies, which we have seen good results in. And also what we were mentioning is the sleep index. Just alone, if you're having a sleep index, which is somewhere around the 70% mark, that's usually already a strong indication that you'll have some kind of electrosensitivity. And it's really important to stand out that it doesn't matter if you believe radiation is dangerous or if you don't believe that it has an effect on you. And everybody reacts with stress on that. And it will, for instance, have a big effect on your sperm fertility. So there is always this effect on your body. And just sensitive persons have a higher effect on their bodies. And especially when the sleep efficiency is, to my experience, below 70%, and the people start to reduce the exposure or start to protecting themselves with real actions, then they are actually improving their sleep efficiency quite rapidly above the 85% mark within usually 4 weeks. And this is something what we had also seen with many of our customers, that the people, they measure their sleep efficiency, it's around the 70% mark, and then you literally have a 15% improvement in sleep during those 30 days or something. So starting to shut your phone down at night and turning your Wi-Fi router off, or just putting it into this electricity plug, which is run by the time, so that you can just deactivate the electricity for your Wi-Fi router between midnight and 6 a.m. in the morning, is one of the actual real good working ways of protecting yourself from EMF. Invest $15 into the small electric clock, and then plug in your Wi-Fi router and have at least this exposure gone. And when you don't use your phone, just put it in an airplane mode. This is stuff which is really working and will help your sleep efficiency. And there is a study which I have just read and I think also presented for you in Amsterdam, was that I was showing the impact on a cell phone call on the glucose metabolism inside the brain. So what is happening is that just by having one small, short phone call before you're going to bed, will have around an impact of around 4 hours on your brain metabolism. So meaning your body doesn't go into the lower brain waves like the alpha, beta, and theta waves to process actually what it's supposed to do, going into the dream world, starting to process our emotions of our days, reflecting, and gaining again this power also for giving us a great new start into a day with new capacities inside of our brain. This is what's happening in the deep sleep areas. And if we are missing out on those, it's horrible. And they showed in the university study, they showed that the brain metabolism is strongly activated, which is basically just exactly the agonist of what we need. So having this deep sleep states, and therefore it's something which we should really much avoid. The closer you're going for the time of wanting to go to sleep, the more careful I would start being with EMFs.
That's a very good point. Now, if people want to learn more about your products and company and EMF protection, where should they go?
They can follow me if they like on Instagram or EMF Coach. There I'm starting also the series about radiation exposure reduction. And otherwise, they can go on waveguard.com. So that's our company's website. And there we also do education and link to some of the interviews and studies. And we are presenting some of the studies. And so there will the people get some good answers.
Yeah, I would recommend to go to the website and check on the product section, the studies on its effects, and take a look what the studies say on Fraunhofer. And also
the Dutch study is actually one of the most significant ones I would point out there. This was literally the first 5G study which was done. And the thing is, we have repeated this experiment 13 times. This was really important. We have also blinded the institute, which is not actually explicitly mentioned. So it actually just makes the study more strong. We were also giving the institute multiple devices, and they didn't know which one was the scam device and which one was a real device. And we just, after they have submitted us the results, we have just actually opened, the third party has opened the envelope and actually showing which study is the real device. So we also have done that. But what was really interesting is that this study on the 5G with the interaction of human cells, there was not any 5G study on human biology before. And then we launched this one, and it was showing that the healing process of our human skin cells is extended by 400% if we are exposed to a 5G signal. And this was, and if the people they see there, by the way, the cells which are working, and since we were speaking of dark field microscopy, I was asked by a biohacker a few weeks back, no, we haven't done that with a dark field microscopy. And this is actually live, the live human cells which we're seeing there with just a normal microscope and just with just a filter on it. So this is how you see the studies and you see the real healing process of a human skin cell.
Wonderful. So people go check out waveguard.com. And if you want to see the device yourself, welcome to Barker Summit in July in Helsinki, barkersummit.com. You can find more information on that. And excellent that you're sharing this information and you are also keeping your integrity in a sea of all kinds of sham EMF products, that your product actually is real and has real studies behind it. And it's important that we educate people on this stuff and that the quality of the products in the industry also improves. Hopefully everyone else follows suit, because that has happened in the supplement industry. Like, there's a lot of scam supplements and all that. You want to go for certified ingredients. You want to check the labels. You want to make sure they have the certificates. The facilities are certified as well and all that. That's what WaveGuard is. It's like a certified supplement ingredient, but in the EMF electrosmog space, it's like a real deal. If you want to avoid the pitfalls when buying these products, that's a good source. So with that, thank you so much, Hagen, for joining.
Thank you. Thank you for the compliment. It was a pleasure being here. Looking forward to speaking on your summit again.
My pleasure. So thank you very much and stay EMF free.